Being a baseball play-by-play broadcaster demands a blend of learned mechanics, intense preparation, and a calm sense of entertainment. How hard is it to do this job? Let's talk to the ones who do it. This is Matt Spiegel. My new podcast, The PBP, Voices of Baseball, will bring those conversations to you as the best working and former broadcasters tell you why and how they do it. New episodes come every Thursday all summer long. Follow The PBP, Voices of Baseball, on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
I almost feel guilty. Not quite, but almost. That I left Houston on Tuesday morning, got back to the New York City area to find the most amazing weather maybe I've ever experienced in the month of August since I moved to the New York City area, early 2013. Oh my goodness, the last 2 days and nights have been absolutely glorious. Right now at my house, don't tell my neighbors, my windows are open. The temps are in the upper 50s. My windows are open. Very weird to turn off the AC in the month of August to have no humidity. Oh my gosh, it's such a gift. So my windows were open first thing on Wednesday morning when I got home. And actually, I woke up kind of a weird sleeping situation on Wednesday. But I woke up around lunchtime and had to take a phone call. And then I realized it was a little bit warm in the house. So I shut the windows and put on the AC again. But then did a good training run this evening, over an hour and 10 minutes of training run. It was so nice outside that I actually didn't mind running. Sort of. I minded running, but it was definitely worth it because a day with temps in the mid-70s and no humidity is extremely rare in the month of August in this area. So whew, almost feel guilty because I left behind my mom at 105 degree temperatures. Bob told me it was 109 heat index, and that's with the humidity in Houston. That's just gross. And now I can say it because I'm back and I'm not complaining about the heat. I'm pointing it out. But yeah, I couldn't complain about it at all while I was in Houston because I had had no travel snafus, which means I had to keep my trap shut about any type of heat and humidity. I did mention it many times, but I was officially not complaining, not complaining. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Hope that you survived your hump day. I hope that you survived and thrived through your hump day. Good to have you with us. It's kind of funny. I got a tweet a few hours ago from a listener, and he said, I want to thank you for the great radio you're doing. This is from Robert. I appreciate that, Robert. I'm hearing you on the Fan 590. Now, I don't know if he's hearing me out of Toronto. I think that's Toronto, but it also is a network. It's made the early morning hours easy to deal with when I can't stay fully asleep. Well, I'm thrilled to keep him and any other insomniac company when it's necessary, though I have been told the show is extremely helpful for other people when they're trying to fall asleep. Whatever you need. If you need to sleep and we can keep you company, help you get better Z's, then we're all about it. Or if you need some assistance when you're dealing with insomnia and it's frustrating you, you need a distraction for your brain, well, we can do that too. It's After Hours on our Facebook page, also on our show Twitter, and then you can find me at A-Law Radio. I did go back and answer a few of your Ask Amy questions, but I had to be careful because producer Jay told me that there were a bunch that he wanted to ask, holdovers, if you will, from our last show that he'll use moving forward to the next show. And so I didn't go hog wild. I did answer a few, but not a lot of them. And if you missed Ask Amy Anything, it's always part of our hump show, which is the middle show of the work week, the third show of the work week. It is on our podcast, After Hours, amylawrence.com. Actually, that web address is dead. I keep forgetting. Jay and I we shared it for so many years. Well, I shared it for so many years here on the show. But even after Jay started, we shared that link because it used to be a working page where you could go and grab the podcast. We don't actually know what our digital department did to it, but it's dead. It's there. Like, it's actually there. The page is there, but it does not update except for the very last hour of the podcast. It's really weird.
And they don't tell us what they did to it either. We've asked.
No, we've asked a bazillion times.
Multiple times.
Yeah. It's like me asking Facebook for a code so I can get into my own show page. They just refuse to send it. Yeah. It's highly technical. All I can tell you is that if you do use our old web address, you can really only access the final hour of every weekday morning's podcast.
It
makes no sense. And not one damn thing on the rest of the page has been updated. It's been over a year.
Looks exactly the same, fully functional. It's just the hours aren't there. It's only that one four.
It might be 18 months since they last updated because our digital department took a hit because we lost someone and that someone was not replaced, our writer / producer. So when that happened, like many companies, our company didn't bother to replace the employee who left and said something about how it would be the responsibility of someone else in the digital department, but it really never happened. It just didn't happen. It kind of slipped by the wayside because the company cares more, and it's not a criticism, just a fact. The company cares far more about the Odyssey webpage and the Odyssey app. So our own CBS Sports Radio pages just have remained stagnant, I guess. They're stagnant. So right now, as I look at it, this is actually really funny. The fourth hour of our podcast is there. But that's it. You can't access anything else. The fourth hour of the podcast is there. The last article, so this would come from our writer / producer. The last article that was posted about any of our guests, any of our show topics, June 28th of 2022. So it's now been, 13 months easily.
Yeah, sounds about right.
And we don't really, first of all, we cannot handle any more social media. Jay and I are maxed out on social, which is why we don't add the gram or Insta, as some people say. We're not going TikTok-y on your locky. We're not adding anything else. We just can't, no snaps. I got rid of Snapchat because I just can't keep up with any more social media. So when it was just Jay and I, when we realized that there was no help forthcoming from anyone or anything at the network, we had to cut back. I mean, we can barely manage to post a new video on YouTube every couple minutes. Well, every couple minutes, huh? Every couple months. Speaking of that, Jay, guess what?
What's that?
Bob got a text from his brother and his sister-in-law on Wednesday. They told him, they've been watching our videos and they believe we should have a new family tradition. Can you guess which family tradition they would like to add at Thanksgiving?
They want to carve the pumpkin? Oh, that's Halloween.
Halloween. Nope.
They don't want to do an Ask Gibby Anything Halloween, Thanksgiving edition.
Nope. Keep trying. What else is on the YouTube channel?
What do we do on Thanksgiving?
No. It's not. They want to do it on Thanksgiving. We did not do it on Thanksgiving. It's become a bit of a spring tradition now.
Oh, I gotcha. Chubby Bunny?
They want to add Chubby Bunny to the family Thanksgiving.
I mean, it's not the worst idea. It's fun if you have something to look forward to, but it's a little dangerous.
It is annually. Fun. It's a little messy.
A little bit.
At your Thanksgiving table. But I suppose I started thinking about, what's that casserole that, it's sweet potatoes, right? But it's a casserole and it has the layer of, is it caramel and marshmallows
marshmallow,
on top?
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess not always caramel. Sometimes caramel, sometimes not. But it's a sweet potato dish, a sweet potato casserole that is covered with melted marshmallows. So I thought, well, in place of that, we'll just have, you can regurgitate the marshmallows and they kind of look the same way.
Oh, no. Make your own sweet potato casserole.
or at least the topping for it.
Yeah.
Oh, anyway, really
Could
funny stuff.
Yeah. Just a plate, it's like just on the Thanksgiving dinner table as a side, just marshmallows just in their own place.
For
like,
Chubby Bunny.
For that's it. Everyone knows what they're for.
That's
you get
right.
them at the end or the beginning.
You just wait. Yeah, I don't know. Would you feel like eating right after Chubby Bunny? You're not actually supposed to eat the marshmallows. We know our reigning champion, Pat, he decided that he would eat the marshmallows because they look so good even after he stuffed how many in his mouth? 10 and a half?
Yeah, some 11. He was up double digits.
Yeah, so I mean, he blew everybody else out of the water. There's nobody here that is even come close to double digits.
No.
Maybe Dave, producer Dave, got to 8. I think he might have gotten to 8, but nobody ever approached 10.
I
think Pat got to 11.
He might have.
Almost 11.
And I feel like he could have kept going now that he knows a technique. And if he does it again,
yes.
He could hit 15.
Ew.
20?
Ew. That's so gross. Anyway, I guess I got to beware. Bob's Family adds Chubby Bunny to their tradition. I need to forewarn them if they ever invite me to Thanksgiving that first of all, I talk. And second of all, I can't. There's nothing that I can really do to compete with, you know. I mean, I'll try not to upchuck at your Thanksgiving table, but that's always a possibility if you make me play. Chubby Bunny.
Chubby Bunny.
No, absolutely not. It's got to be audible, man.
No. All right. One more chance.
No, that's it. You're done.
He's out.
Oh, God.
Wait, what happened to double digits?
I can't.
What happened to double?
Happy Thanksgiving.
Could you imagine? We miss Sean. Sean is now working for a New York affiliate. Wish him the best of luck, Sean Morash. But we miss him in the mornings because he's no longer part of the DA show that follows us here in studio. And we're going to have to work it out so that he is part of Chubby Bunny, the world championship moving forward. So, yeah, I got to be careful what we put up on the YouTube channel. But what's next? What should we do next on our YouTube channel? We did the latest video version of Ask Amy Anything. If you haven't seen it, it's the Some Summertime Edition in a brand new location. So you can check that out on YouTube. What should we do on YouTube next?
It's got to be something football.
We need a stunt.
A stunt?
We need some kind of a stunt.
I would do a stunt.
Would you? Do you need a stunt double?
No, I do my own stunts.
You do your own stunts?
Yeah, I'm like Tom Cruise.
Yes, I can see the resemblance in many ways, including your bank account.
Well, not that. Maybe not there.
What can we do? We need to do something. We need to do another edition of Stairway to 7. What should be our next topic for Stairway to 7?
It's got to be something football.
Does
it?
I think so.
Football's in
How
the
about
air.
We could do top stadiums? We could do top destinations for an NFL game? We could do... The players that you'd most want to see in person right now. We could do something totally goofy. Like every year, half the NFL playoff field turns over.
Yes.
Right. We could do the 7 new teams that will make the playoffs in 2023. I mean, technically it'll be 24, but it's the 23 season. How about that? We love to ask that question. We haven't yet done it because they're not even into preseason games, though that will start on Thursday. Did you know the Hall of Fame game is tomorrow night? It's Thursday night. This time tomorrow, we will have the sounds of football. It doesn't really look like football, but we will have the sounds of football, which is pretty incredible. Even now, as I look up on my TV, I see Patrick Mahomes. It's everywhere you look these days. But until they get into preseason, we can't be talking about playoff teams yet. That's against my religion. Jay, do we get to hear from Patrick Mahomes later? He's fired up.
Oh, is he fired
up? Yeah, he is. I love Patrick. Anyway, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. If you haven't checked out our YouTube channel, you can do so. It's easy to find. Named after the show, same as our Facebook page, and then on Twitter as well. Appreciate hearing from so many of you over the last 24 hours about the return to the show. Some of you are downright nosy about my personal life. Hey, when I have news to share, I will share it. Thank you. Thanks for caring. All right, on this edition of the show, we got a lot that's kind of left over or that is carrying the story forward from last night. For instance, Carly Lloyd, former U.S. Women's National Team star, turned analyst now, issues a clarification for her strong criticism of the current American roster and their effort in New Zealand and Australia in this year's Women's World Cup. The captain of the current team, well, she's got a particular word that she uses to describe what Carly has said about the red, white, and blue. We have so much football de Americano, so not the kind of football I was just talking about there, the soccer, but we got a lot of QB news just because. Did you know Peyton Manning wants to help Jordan Love? If I'm Aaron Rodgers, how do I take that? Peyton Manning shows up in Green Bay. What's he doing in Green Bay?
You got weather.
Seriously, why is Peyton Manning at Packers training camp? Am I missing something?
He just seems to be wherever he wants to be nowadays.
Well, of course, if you're Peyton Manning, don't you just show up wherever you want to go?
And who's going to tell him no?
You mentioned Tom Cruise. Who tells Tom Cruise where to go and where not to go?
Right.
If Tom Cruise wants to show up somewhere, I suppose he can. So Peyton Manning is the Tom Cruise of the NFL. If you're Peyton, you have a lifetime invitation to show up at every single one of these training camps. Unannounced, uninvited, you just walk on the field and that's it. Who's going to tell Peyton, hey, sorry, this practice is closed?
Sorry, Peyton, can't let you in.
Yeah, sorry, Peyton Manning. Your time is past. But I think it's fascinating. Why did Peyton Manning go to hang out with Jordan Love? If you're Aaron Rodgers, what do you think about that?
Bums.
Oh, God. Jay. I don't know. Sometimes I don't know how Jay's brain works, but it does become highly entertaining. We've got everything from wide receivers to defensive linemen to quarterbacks to, oh goodness, we've even got coaches. It's going to be, although speaking of bums, Sean Payton is sufficiently chastised by Nathaniel Hackett and Aaron Rodgers. So he's not stepping in that pond again. It's more like stepping in that poop emoji again.
How could you possibly say that?
There's so much to talk about. We also will get into tonight's battles among playoff contenders in Major League Baseball. For instance, Baltimore and Toronto. I don't know if you can call Miami a playoff contender anymore, but the Phillies fancy themselves that way. So we've got that too. The Atlanta Braves have sent a strong message to the Angels, as in, you're not nearly as far down the road as you think you are. Ouch. The Angels have all this momentum, and it's just completely stomped on by the Braves in back-to-back games. Corey Seager returns for the Rangers, and the Yankees lose their perfect pitcher, at least for one night, to an unusual excused absence. So there's a lot to talk about on this edition of the show. Again, find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page or YouTube. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Life comes with a lot of decisions, and it can be hard to know the right path sometimes. A therapist can help you map out what you really want so you trust yourself to make great choices and feel excited about the future. BetterHelp offers convenient, professional online therapy on your schedule, however you want it, by phone, chat, or video call. Let therapy be your map with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/positive.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
bases loaded. The pitch. And it hit him. Hit him right in the back with a fastball. It's a painful way to get the lead, but the impact on the back of Chapman gets the Blue Jays a 2-1 advantage. The 0-2. Hit him again. A fastball hits Jansen on the arm. The second batter dotted by Fujinami. The Blue Jays have a 3-1 lead. All this madness with two down. 0-1. Broken back grounder in the middle of the diamond. Mateo bobbles it. Everybody safe and the Blue Jays get another run. 4-1 Toronto. The Orioles have absolutely unraveled here in this sixth inning.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
On the Blue Jays radio network with Ben Wagner. So two outs in the sixth inning. And from that point on, the Orioles walk three batters in a row, two different pitchers, actually. Then the second guy who's pitching in the inning, the relief, he hits back-to-back batters plus a fielding error. So the Blue Jays end up scoring three runs on no hits with two outs. That's complicated and hard to do, but it's perfect. It's exactly what Toronto needs to be able to dispatch the Orioles. And I'm not sure if you know this, but the Blue Jays generally struggle against the Orioles, had in their last eight just one win against Baltimore. So this was a bit of a breakthrough, though not necessarily because of the bats. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. In the fourth inning, Brandon Belt with a double, and then he gets pushed around on a George Springer RBI. And as he's talking about that at bat that put the Blue Jays' first run on the board, he did not sidestep quickly enough.
Luck, a lot of luck. Yeah, I was just getting up there hoping that he put it in a spot that I could handle it, and he did. Fortunate enough to get on base right there, and George did the job getting me in.
I'm going to step out for a second, bud.
Oh, no. Oh! Never ready for that.
He got soaked. That's on Sportsnet. We do enjoy it when other people get soaked.
Oh!
And their reactions. Obviously, you can't see him getting doused, but the reaction tells the story. Meanwhile, for the Baltimore Orioles, right now checking out the MLB standings for the East, they lose, but so do the Rays, which means the separation is still the same. After Wednesday night's game, it's the O's leading the East by a game and a half, and they added Jack Flaherty at the trade deadline. It comes in with a record of 7-6 and an ERA about 4.5, but maybe this is an opportunity to change the way his numbers look, but certainly an opportunity to be part of a pennant race.
These guys have been playing unbelievable. For them to be in first place and to be playing the way they have all year, it's special. You know, it's just really lucky to come in here and join these guys. And, you know, I'm just looking forward to starting and like whenever that is, and just getting after everything.
When I saw after I came in after the game, I was fired up. I think he's really going to help this rotation. He's throwing the ball really good for as long as he's been in the league. So be excited to pitch alongside of him.
I saw Jack in St. Louis back a few years ago, and he was a big time prospect arm that came up for them at that time. He had a great arm. We're excited to have him join us, and hopefully we'll see him soon.
So Jack Flaherty is expected to start on Thursday. Kyle Bradish, another one of the starting pitchers, second year for Bradish for the Baltimore Orioles, and then Brandon Hyde, the manager. Yeah, I mean, these O's are looking for a boost. And while Flaherty doesn't necessarily have the numbers out of St. Louis, the higher expectations, their pitching staff, their pitching numbers, their pitching performances this season, a major reason why the Cardinals have really scuffled and why they were sellers at the deadline, which is rare. But Flaherty still has got the goods, and maybe with a little more of the run support, he'll be able to help them in terms of their push to try to win that division. If you missed my conversation with Scott Miller, he joined us on last night's show in the wake of the trade deadline, and I asked him about the major factors or the pieces that could make the difference down the stretch in this neck and neck battle between the Orioles and the Rays. That is part of our podcast, and the link is posted on both Twitter and Facebook. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Good to see the race really shaping up. I mean, it's tight, as in tight, in the AL West, too. So we really now have three divisions in the American League that all look to be tight the rest of the way. And I know you can make fun of the Central Division, of course, but it's only a two-game separation between the Twins and the Guardians. I just talked about the Orioles and the Blue Jays, and let's not forget about the Rays, who are right there in the mix, too. All three of those teams are above 60 wins. Blue Jays, Rays, and Orioles, 60 or more wins. In fact, every team in the entire East would be the first place team in the Central. So you can make fun of the Central, but it's still just a two-game separation between the top teams. And then in the West, we'll talk more about the Houston Astros coming up, but the Rangers, in their attempt to hold off the hard-charging World Series champions, they get Corey Seager back in the lineup.
The 1-0 pitch is hit high and deep into right field. Going back is Colas. He gets to the track. He turns to look. It's gone. Welcome back, Corey Seager. First at bat off the IL. He clubs his 16th home run of the year to give Texas a 2-0 lead. As he drills one deep out into left center here, he may have just added to the total. Robert going back, looking up. It's gone. Into the Chicago bullpen.
Here's Semien. First pitch. He swings. It's a high fly ball down the left field line, hooking towards the pole. Benintendi in the corner. That ball is out of here. I think that hit the pole. It did. Marcus Semien, a two-run home run.
That's more like it for the Texas Rangers. And, man, what a performance for Dane Dunning. A career-high 11 strikeouts. He goes into the eighth inning. At one point, retired 20 White Sox in a row. But Seager, yeah, returning to the tune of three RBI performance and a major boost for the Rangers.
You never want to be on the DL. You always want to be out there with your guys. So as soon as I was able and they were willing to let me go, I wanted to be out there.
I don't know what else to say about Corey. He's amazing. He did it before when he, you know, he took, what, 6 weeks off and comes back and swings the bat well. He's got a simple swing, and he's just that talented. Takes one day of live BP, says he's good to go, and first at bat, really, really incredible what he did tonight.
A sprained thumb for Seager that kept him out for 9 games, but yeah, what a jolt for the offense. And so because both the Astros and the Rangers win on this Wednesday night, they're still sitting there tied, 62 wins apiece. But yeah, looking at the American League, all of a sudden these races have shaped up perfectly. We're not stretch run. We're still dog days. But the Orioles and Rays have the same number of wins, with the Blue Jays hot on their heels. You've also got the Rangers and Astros sitting on the exact same number of wins. This can be fun through the rest of August and on into September. And we still have to get to the Astros. The Reds get clobbered on this Wednesday. Gosh, the Cubs, you can call them a long shot, but a long shot in terms of the National League wild cards is one thing. The National League Central, again, because the teams are not all great, it's close for the Reds, the Brewers, the Cubs. Any of those teams right now have an opportunity to win that division title, though likely that would be the best they could do. We'll see. There's still some time, some real estate to go. Top of next hour, we're going to try to figure out the Yankees moving forward. Now, I mentioned every team in the East is above 500, and every single team in the East, including the Yankees, who are scuffling offensively specifically, they would still be the leader, the leading team in the Central Division, but that doesn't matter when you're talking playoffs right now. So the Yankees lose a starting pitcher. The offense has been an unmitigated disaster for a good portion of the season, though they did get a win tonight and went 4 of 8 with runners in scoring position. And so they do have some help coming, though they lose a starting pitcher. The offense has been the major issue. Don't make a lot of deadline deals. So we'll talk about them coming up at the top of the hour. What else? Steve Cohen talking about whether or not the Mets are going to tank in 2024. And then a whole lot of football. A whole lot of football. Excited to talk a little bit about training camps and preseason. So on Twitter, A-Law Radio, our Facebook page, our YouTube channel, yada, yada, yada. Marco is here in studio with us. I actually saw that you offered our friend John Kincaid a Yankees hat if he would like to cover up his dome now, as he called it. Now, we're not talking about anything that John himself has not shared publicly. If you know who John Kincaid is, he's a former host here at CBS Sports Radio, and he and I actually knew each other going back to our previous network. He's now with 97.5 The Fanatic and is working even as he's through his first four treatments for colon cancer. Mm-hmm. He did end up shaving his head because his hair was starting to fall out. There's a video. If you haven't seen it, I retweeted it a little while ago if you want to check it out, A-Law Radio. And he was asking for hat suggestions. So I respond with, what about a bright orange Syracuse hat? And of course, he politely declined because he's a Temple grad, so didn't think that would fly well with his Temple fan base. And you offered him a Yankees hat. Did you get a response yet?
I didn't, no, but I just sent it a little while ago. So doing the morning show, I'm assuming, hopefully, he's sleeping right now. I'd like to hope so.
Yes. He did tell me after the first chemo, this was in a text message, just that the drugs that they have him on sometimes mess with his sleep schedule.
I'm sure it does.
Yeah, and so we're always thinking of him. He's got such an amazing attitude. If you haven't seen the video, please check it out. I'll even retweet it now. And also, I know this because not only did he share it with me personally, but it is also on his social media, that his theme right now, the line that he and his family are hanging on to, is there is only one acceptable outcome. They've got it on their family chalkboard. I think it's in their kitchen. He's got it on his own social media. He uses it on the show. There is only one acceptable outcome. And so really proud of him. I know you worked with him earlier in our tenure here at CBS Sports Radio.
Long time. Yeah, we did a lot of Sunday mornings together. A lot of them.
So I do believe that we've offered two viable suggestions, Syracuse and Yankees, but he's not going to take either one of those.
Probably not. I also offered him if he wanted some flannel. I figured, you know, get the whole experience.
The whole Marco Belletti
experience.
Why not?
Get a Yankee hat, get a little flannel going.
All right.
I mean, it's going to get colder soon enough.
Right now in my neighborhood, it's in the upper 50s. I actually wore a long sleeve shirt to walk the dog yesterday morning.
There you go.
It was awesome.
Little flannel.
I thought, this is an early taste of fall. Well, that I can do without.
Time to go.
All right, so we'll talk Yankees coming up at the top of the hour.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Two. And McCormick hits it high in the air, pretty deep down the left field line, giving it a look. Juan, and you can kiss that one goodbye. A two-run home run into the Landry's Crawford boxes for Chaz McCormick. And the Astros have tied the game at two. McCormick's 14th of the year. This is right-hander Nick Sandlin, sidearmer, and McCormick hits his first pitch high in the air, pretty deep to left center. Juan is back, looking up, and that ball is gone! Head off the archway for McCormick's second home run of the game, and the Astros lead it 3-2. McCormick's driven in all three.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Even as the Texas Rangers see Corey Seager come back and give them a jolt along with a career-high strikeout performance for Dane Dunning on the mound, the Houston Astros, maybe bolstered by not just the Framber Valdez no-hitter on Tuesday, but also the reinsertion of Justin Verlander into their starting rotation.
Double your pleasure, immaculate.
they are excited now. They've got some energy, and Chaz McCormick, he does it all in their victory on Wednesday. The Astros radio network with the call. Big day at the plate for him. Two home runs and three RBI.
Yesterday, I got a lot of sliders. I didn't put good swings on them. And today, I came in and I prepared myself before the game. I hit a lot of sliders and made sure to stay on them today. And I got a couple and I put good swings on them.
Chaz, you know, he drove in all the runs. I mean, you got to have some guys hot in there, especially when you're leaving, runners on base. Because we had opportunities to blow that game open many times.
Dusty Baker, thankful for Chaz McCormick, just like he said Verlander was helpful for his heart function on Tuesday. But yeah, McCormick kind of bails out the Astros because otherwise they go 1-for-10 with runners in scoring position. Ouch. But they are right neck and neck with the Texas Rangers. So then what about the Los Angeles Angels? Because we talked about them, the surge. Last I checked, they had won 7 of 10, but then they run smack dab into the brick wall known as the Atlanta Braves.
And he hits a high fly ball to deep left field, cracking it deep and into the seats. A two-run home run by Austin Riley, and the Braves open it up on the Angels. It's 8-1. And Olsen smashes one deep to right to the chop house out of the ballpark. And they do go back-to-back for the 13th time this year. That was a laser beam into the chop house. And for Matt, his 37th home run of the year. 9-1 Atlanta.
Ooh, 9-1 Atlanta. They finish up with a 12-5 victory on Braves Radio. And this against, well, not all of it, but a lot of the damage done against Lucas Giolito, who is the pitcher, maybe the most attractive pitcher at the trade deadline. The Angels hop on Pop. They get him early, even before we hit the weekend, last weekend. They trade for him hours after they pulled Shohei Ohtani off the trade market, but he gets shelled. Absolutely blasted by the Braves. Doesn't even last a full four innings, allows 9 runs on 8 hits and 3 walks. And that includes 3 home runs. So the Angels had Giolito on the mound, but the Braves had a field day against him and really never could recover. 12 runs on 12 hits for the Atlanta Braves. And they believe that this is a springboard now moving forward, facing the rest of the regular season.
It's been a long time coming. You know, these guys have been playing so well, so I'm just trying to seamlessly fit in and just kind of, you know, ride the momentum that they've kind of created, just to be able to go out there and take the mound and, you know, have my teammates, you know, behind me going out there trying to win a baseball game. You know, I'm really looking forward to it.
Max Fried will soon be back in the Braves starting rotation, which is exciting for them, to be sure, but not what the Angels needed from Lucas Giolito in Atlanta.
This offense is relentless sometimes, and when they kind of get rolling like that, it's that's what happens. I mean, he left some pitches in the middle of the plate. I thought his stuff was good the first two, and you really can't tell. I mean, they put some balls in play here and there. You know, he battled.
Well, he battled, but it was he who was left bloodied and bruised, and the Angels took another loss. So they are still above 500, though they have a losing record on the road. And while we don't necessarily need to scoreboard watch, I think it's fascinating because the races in the American League are so tight. All three divisions, as well as the wild cards. Right now, it's Rays, Astros, Blue Jays who are sitting in the wild card spots in the American League, with the Red Sox, the Yankees, the Mariners, the Angels within 4 games. But that's the problem. The Angels made moves at the trade deadline. They keep Shohei Ohtani. But any little wiggle up or down, any little surge forward, any little backward sliding, and you can either overtake a couple of teams or you can see a couple of teams leapfrog you. So it there's not much wiggle room. The Guardians even are just another 3 games back of the Angels, though they potentially could still win the American League Central. That's how crazy this whole thing is. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. Hope you survived the hump day, as it were. You can find us on Twitter or on Facebook, our YouTube channel as well. We like to connect with you. And generally, I don't reply, obviously, to all the tweets or the Facebook posts. However, I read all of them for the most part. I didn't over my little mini vacation. It wasn't vacation. It was a long weekend. It's a long weekend in Houston. But that's really the only time I don't read and respond to Twitter and Facebook personally. No one else runs my social media, so kind of a control freak about it. Also, who else would be doing it, really? Every now and then I'll get a message about my staff. Shouldn't I have my staff drive me, or shouldn't I have my staff do my laundry? That actually Somebody actually asked me that one time. Why don't you have your staff do your laundry?
That sounds amazing.
Are you kidding? First of all, no, I don't. I work with all men. I don't want men touching my laundry. And second of all, what staff?
Yeah.
Is that you?
It would be me.
Are you
yeah.
the staff?
I'm the staff.
Okay.
I would be the staff.
People have such crazy ideas. Yes, I've had many tweets over the years about hiring a driver. First of all, I love to drive, even though the traffic is insane in the New York City area. Second of all, I'm not a great passenger. Not real good at it. I try to use the brakes on the wrong side of the car. And third of all, a driver? I can barely afford the tolls in and out of New York, but now you'd like me to pay a driver to do it for me? Oh, my God.
I hate when gas goes up a couple cents.
Yeah. Oh, goodness. It's surging. Have
yes,
you
it
seen
is.
It?
Oh, I got it today on the way here. It was about $4.
Yeah, man alive. And Jersey has some of the cheapest gas in the nation, even though we do have to let someone else pump it for us, which drives me bananas. But yeah, the gas in New Jersey is now up in some places to $3.70 and higher, which means that if it's $3.70 yeah. and higher in New Jersey, it's over $4 in a lot of places, including New York. It's headed that direction. All right, so coming up at the top of the hour, we're going to check in on the New York Yankees. They do get a win against the Rays on Wednesday night in the Bronx. However, they're still basement of the American League East. Really, it was kind of a fizzle of a trade deadline day for the Yankees. Not much happened in the Bronx. And now they find out that Domingo Germán, who pitched a perfect game not that long ago, we celebrated it here on the show, thought it might be a springboard for him. But as it turns out, he is now done for the rest of the year because he's entering treatment for alcohol abuse, which is stunning. I think sending shockwaves through Major League Baseball. So we're going to get the latest from Pete Caldera, who's covered the Yankees for 20 plus years. He will join us from the Bergen Record, also with the USA Today Baseball Network. So that is straight ahead. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. As I say, we're happy to keep you company, whether you need some entertainment, whether you need some sleep. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.